Today, Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that you would speak to us, Father. Strengthen us, undergird us, Lord. Open our understanding that we might hear what you would say to us, each one, Lord. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, Father, as we study together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn right to the middle, and then hang a left. One book. You go to the middle, you should find Psalms. The first book to the left is Job. Job is the book that we're going to begin today. And I'd like to read just the first chapter. We're going to be looking at just the last three verses of this chapter. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, before Jehovah, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came another also and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and the slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and you have given it to us for a purpose, Lord. Every book, every chapter, every word, Father, is inspired by you, Father, and is for our profit. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear your heart today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we read through that chapter, it's pretty apparent that Job had a bad day. But as we look at that, we realize that every one of us has had days like that. A lost relationship, a lost loved one, loss of health, loss of a job. Any numbers of things can come crashing down upon us. And the question is then, how are we going to react to those things that happen? What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Is God in the picture? And if he is, what's our attitude towards him? Job gives us an example of that, not only here in this first chapter, but as we move through this book. It's a powerful book, to be sure, about dealing with difficulty. In verse 20, we read, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." In that verse, we see, first of all, Job's faith. Job's faith. You see, Job was a man that was exercising his faith on a daily basis. You see that back at the beginning in verse 10, where it says that he went before the Lord and ministered on behalf of his children. Actually, it would be earlier in verse 5. But the fact is that he was in the Lord's presence on a regular basis, not just because of difficulty in his life, because that was his practice, that was his discipline, that was his heart towards God. You see, he was built upon the rock, if you will. And so when the tragedy did come, he was in a place to be able to respond rightly. We're told here that he stood before the Lord and he tore his robe. That was a sign in the Middle East of great mourning, of a great loss. And of course, as you read through, he essentially lost everything except for his wife, who later will be his encouragement when she says, "Just curse God and die." But in the middle of all of this, Job responded rightly. He shaved his head as an outward display of an inward reality of his heart towards God. Even in the midst of the loss, he acknowledged God's presence and God's sovereignty in his life. It says he fell to the ground in humility before God. And I don't know if you can think back about those things that might have happened in your life where you might have been tempted to blame God. I can remember in my own life before I was walking with the Lord, and our family fell on hard times. My dad was having great difficulties, and I blamed God. "It's your fault. Why did you allow that to happen?" I had a conversation with a fellow this week who was talking about a man he'd been ministering to. And through this journey with this fellow, he came to the point where he confessed to my friend. He said, "You know," he said, "I've been mad at God since an event in my life and in my family. I blamed him." And that's why he had not wanted anything to do with God, because it was God's fault. Job didn't find that at all, you see. He worshiped the Lord in brokenness, in brokenness. And I love that picture. In Psalm 34, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit." That word contrite is a word that means crushed to powder. Perhaps you've had your heart crushed at one time or another for various reasons. You know what that's talking about there. You see, through those crushing experiences, we're either going to be drawn closer to the Lord or we're going to be driven away from the Lord. "It's not fair," she said. "I don't understand," he said. "Why did that happen? They were such a good person," they declared. Blaming someone else. You see, the road into God's presence should be a familiar journey. It should be a path that's well-worn in our lives, where we are going to him daily, as Job did, praying for our families, praying for our children, praying for our friends, praying for those who are going through difficulty, praying for our nation, and the list goes on and on. praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for all those who are suffering in our world from war and famine and all these natural disasters. We have a choice of whether or not to worship in the storm. How are we going to respond when the storm is raging? Job had a faith that had been developed that allowed him to go in the right direction because he had prepared his heart to respond rightly. He saw God as a friend, as a one that he could depend upon rather than as an enemy or a competitor for his life. We need to be like Job. So let's talk about getting into shape, spiritually speaking, about how we develop our faith. That faith journey is like working out physically. We develop our faith over time. So Job, he stands before the Lord. He rents his mantle. He shaves his head. He falls down to the ground and he worships. And then in verse 21, we read, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see there in that verse, we see Job's hope. In the midst of this crushing experience of death and destruction in his life, the first thing he does is he looks back. He looks back and he says, "Naked I came into this world." I came into this world with nothing. With nothing. And that's important for us to remember. We come in the same state. Nothing is brought into this world when we come, except for one additional life. And then we begin to build a life. Job understood that. He says, "Naked I came into the world, and naked I shall leave as well." And that is so true. As he looked ahead, he realized that. Paul would tell Timothy, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." There was a rich man that died, and somebody said, "Well, how much did he leave?" And the response was, "He left it all." You know, somebody has rightly said, you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And that's true. You're not taking it with you. You're going to leave it behind. We don't take anything with us. It's all just stuff. And that's why Paul was able to say, you know, "I've learned to be content in everything." Because all of this stuff is just, in his words, it's just dumb, dirty, stinky stuff. He said, "I don't need any of it because I have a relationship with the Lord. Naked I came," he said, "naked I'll leave. The Lord has given." Job didn't lose sight of the fact that he'd been greatly blessed. The Lord has given. We sang that today. The Lord gives. He's a giver. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Job knew and understood that. All the things that we have come from him. All of Job's possessions that he had came from the Lord, were a blessing from the Lord to him. And if he were here today, he would say a hearty amen. And we need to be in that same place, to confessing, "Lord, I know that what I have today, you've given me. You've given it all to me. Help me to use it well. Help me to use it rightly." The Lord gave, he said, and the Lord has taken away, as he considers his loss, beginning with all of his children. Just think of that. In one moment, his children are all gone. You see, Job was looking around at that point at what was going on around him. God knows what's best for you today. He knows what's best for me. Sometimes he will give and sometimes he will take. But whatever happens, it's for his glory and for our good. If we're lovers of Jesus, we just need to know and understand that. We need to embrace it, you see. The scripture says, he will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before him. Job was that man. He walked uprightly before the Lord. And the Lord gave him great possessions and a great family. But then we see all is taken away in a moment. And what is Job's response to that loss? "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's a powerful, that's a supernatural response. in our own flesh, we would not have that response to thank the Lord that we lost everything. But Job had that heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because why? He was looking up. Later on in the book of Job, chapter 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I may have lost everything in the here and now, but I have a Redeemer that's eternal. I have a Redeemer that is at work in my life. I have a Redeemer that I'm going to see someday. Job knew that. He had that faith. He had that understanding. He had that hope. You see, a heart prepared to bless God happens as we express our faith, as we allow God to kindle our hope within us. And in this book, in the book of Job, which you wouldn't necessarily think as a hopeful book with all that's going on, besides all the loss going on, and then his friends come and they spend a good part of this book whipping on him, you know, because you're a sinner, all this happened, it's your fault. But Job knew better, you see. Job knew better. Hope, guys, in this book is mentioned 16 times. The psalmist in Psalm 42 said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Hope declares God will not fail me. Do you believe that this morning? Do I believe that, that God will not fail me? Is our God able? Yes, he is. If you believe that he created the universe and he holds it in the span of his hand, a God that big, can he take care of the needs in my life personally? Oh man, yes. If you can believe Genesis 1:1, then you have a reason to hope. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We serve a great God, guys. Job knew that. He had faith. He had hope in the midst of all of that. In Romans chapter 5, we read, tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You know, as we live our lives, as we go through the day-to-day challenges and all the things that happen, both good and bad, it's a reminder to us that it's necessary. The tribulation, the difficulty is necessary. We don't invite it. We don't, Lord, bring tribulation into my life. But we know he's going to. Why? Because it is that which teaches us his faithfulness. It's that which gives us patience and allows us to continue on, even in the midst of that stormy gale that's going on in our lives. And it again and again and again, God delivers us and it gives us experience. We see that again and again and again, God shows up and he's faithful. And because of that experience, we say, Lord, I hope in you. I have none other to hope in. Because everything else is the work of men. The Lord gives, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 22, we read, in all this Job sinned not, and charged, nor charged God foolishly. In that verse, we see Job's love. Job's love. His anchor in the storm was his love for the God of heaven, for his time spent with him, you see. He was complete, we're told in verse 1. He was complete, and yeshar is the word. He was complete and upright or righteous before the Lord. He was a lover of his family, but most foremost was he was a lover of God. And that's where it has to begin. If you, in your family, and me and my family, our declaration has to be, I love you. I love my wife. I love my children, but I love God first. He has to be first in order for all of those other relationships to be what they're supposed to be. God needs to be number one. We put him on the throne of our family. We put him on the throne of our marriage. We put him on the throne of our lives because we know that as we honor him in all those realms, everything else will order itself because that's the way God works, by his Spirit. If I have things going wrong in my life, I need to draw back. I need to get in that place where I'm sure that God is on the throne, and then I need to commit that situation to him and say, Lord, you take it. I can't deal with that. I need you to handle it. I'm having difficulty with that child or with that coworker, whatever it happens to be. Lord, I need you. That diagnosis that I just received, Lord, I can't deal with that. I was talking to a dear brother on the phone this last week, and had played an important part in our family's life over the years, and I hadn't talked to him for some time, and we were just chatting about things, and he said, I want you to know, he said, that I'm in acute kidney failure and I begin dialysis next week. And you know, I thought, wow, what a blow. You know, as he's pastoring a church and trying to care for the flock, and this happens. And it could be so easy to say, why? Why, God? Why does this happen? But he didn't do that. You see, he didn't sin. He didn't get angry. He didn't lash out. He did mourn. Mourning is not a sin. We're wired to mourn. We're wired to rejoice. We're wired to love. We're wired with a full range of emotions, and it's not wrong to use them properly. I will say, mourning can become a problem if it's held on to for too long. I know people who have been mourning for years over an event. That becomes, in my estimation, as I look at the scripture, sin. We need to let go of that. We need to let the healing process take place. We need to trust God in what he's doing. And it says there, he did not charge God foolishly. Yeah. Praise the Lord, Job. Thank you. Because when you go back to the beginning, we see an example of charging God foolishly, right? So Eve takes of the tree. Adam joins her. God confronts them. What's up? What's up? Well, we were hiding. Why were you hiding? Well, we were afraid. Why were you afraid? Because, well, we ate of the tree. So he says to Eve, what's the problem? Well, the serpent beguiled me. Well, that's probably true, probably because Adam wasn't doing what he should have been doing, being a covering for his wife. But so he turns to Adam and he says, Adam, what's the problem here? What was Adam's response? Being the strong man he is, he says, it's this woman you gave me. It's her problem. It's her fault. That's, you see, so easy for us to blame someone else. Job did not do that. Questioning God's goodness started in the garden. That's where Eve fell, succumbed to the temptation of the evil one, which said, God is denying you something that is good for you. Questioning the goodness of God. And God will do that in your life and mine as well. Sometimes God will take away someone or something from our lives that we think is good for us. We need to know that if God has taken it away, it's not good for us. And he's got something better. There are things that perhaps you can think of in your own life. I know I can think of in mine that I prayed for. And I just thought they were the best thing since sliced bread. And God said, no. And it wasn't until later. And I looked back and I thought, wow, God, thank you. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for saying no, being willing to be a loving heavenly father. You see, we don't want to question God's goodness because God is good all the time. He can never be anything else. The question of why is questioning God's goodness. Why did you allow that to happen to me? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Rather than being like Job, saying the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, you know. So we see Job's faith. We see his hope. We see his love. But in that, we then see our opportunity to respond to the things that are going on in my life, in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. You may have a heartrending situation that no one knows about, or your closest friend or someone knows about, but You don't know how that's going to work out, what you're going to do. What we need to do is we need to look at Job's life, how he responded here, and we need to make those things part of our life. Number one, guys, number one, we need to exercise faith. Faith. To see how far God has brought us to this point. Lord, it's just amazing what you've done to this point in my life. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so grateful for that, Lord. I look back at that and I look back at the cross and I say, Lord, thank you for so great a salvation in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the willingness of Jesus to go to the cross and die for my sins. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me faith to believe that I can come into relationship with you through Jesus. And it begins this faith journey. And it's not only when the world caves in on us. It needs to be a daily discipline. You brush your teeth every day. You comb your hair every day. Well, some of us comb our hair every day. You put on deodorant. You take a shower. You do all these things to take care of yourself. I suggest to you that your time with the Lord is more important than all those things. Now, don't hear me say don't floss. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying you do need to spend time with the Lord. And I suggest you should spend time with the Lord in the morning before you start your day. It could be just a few minutes, whether it's with a daily bread devotional, we have out there, or just picking up the scripture and spending a few minutes reading, just to set the tone and talk to the Lord about your day and what's going on and ask for his provision, his protection, his direction, his discernment, all of those things. And we leave the house with a song on our heart because we focused upon the one who's the creator of everything. To exercise faith, to experience salvation. What does that even mean? Well, a salvation can be initial salvation when we pray to receive Jesus Christ. We experience daily salvation. Those who know Jesus, the Lord is providing for us. He's protecting us. He's keeping us safe from harm. We're looking for eternal salvation. We're looking to be with him for eternity, which, by the way, I think is very close, that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to claim his church. We're right there knocking on the door. So if you don't know Jesus, you need to think about that. We need to exercise faith, but we also need to experience hope. You know, I heard this last week, it was shared in the body here, that a lady across the river here took her life last week. And, you know, that always breaks my heart, because what it says is that she was in a place where she saw no hope, the loss of hope. And we have that. That's why we need to be taking the opportunity to share Jesus with those that we know don't know him. They're not always going to receive Christ, but some will. And it's that individual now who has a certain destination in heaven. I have no idea what this lady's spiritual condition was, but the fact is she lost sight of who God is and what he could do. We need to know and understand that. That needs to move us, guys. We need to experience hope. We need to look forward to heaven. That's our future experience. It's certain. It's certain. Glorification. I don't know about you, but I struggle with the flesh every day at one level or another. You know, we're wrestling with it. It's part of it. But one day, that's my hope. One day that's going to be gone. No more struggle. No more struggle. No more pain, no more death, no more fear, no more hate. None of that. It's all gone. That's our hope. And finally, really, we need to embrace love. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love one for another. Guys, we need to be about loving the body of Christ, loving one another, instead of shooting at one another because we differ on this, that, or the other. If we have Jesus central in our lives, it doesn't matter if it's a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church, an Episcopal church, a non-denominational church, whatever. If we have Jesus central in our faith and him living, dying, crucified, resurrected, if that's the core message, we can fellowship with one another. We may differ on other matters. Those things can be set aside. We need to believe in the core doctrines. We don't want to compromise those things. But too often, we circle the wagons and we shut people out because they don't do it the way we do it. And we shouldn't do that. We need to be praying, Lord, help us to love the way you loved. Jesus, love people through us the way you love them. Help us to have compassion for them the way you had compassion for them. Help us to see them as sheep without a shepherd, Lord, so that we'll then be motivated. As we do those things, our lives will be changed. We will become, if you will, like Job, so that when the things do happen in our lives, we're prepared to deal with them. We're prepared to step up. You know, the avenue to a relationship with God is understanding our need, which once addressed, prepares us for a relationship with those around us. We need Jesus within us in order to truly express love in a biblical fashion, unconditional love. The world says, I will love you if. Our Heavenly Father says, I will love you because you're my creation, because of what Jesus did for you. And that's the way we need to respond as well. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord, and your faithfulness, Lord, to preserve it, that we might hear the truth and that the truth might set us free. I pray, Lord, today that you would help us to respond to what you have been saying to each of our hearts, Lord. We all, Lord, are a work in progress. And we thank you, Lord, that you are at work. Lord, I pray for each one here today. I pray that no one would leave this place without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Father. That if they have no relationship with you through him, that they would seek out someone that could take them to that place of salvation. Lord, it is a work that you have to do. It's your Holy Spirit, Father, who brings faith, who brings conviction, who brings salvation. And so, Lord, we pray to that end. Lord, for the many here that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, might we find ourselves in that place of commitment as Job, Lord, being with you daily, Lord, praying and interceding on behalf of our families and our co-workers and the world about us. Might we be drawn ever closer to you, Lord, and might we experience the fullness of relationship with you that you desire. This day has been ordained by you since before the foundation of the world. And so you will accomplish your purposes. May we be submitted to them, Lord. I pray the Lord would speak to your heart today, that he would help you to know and understand his tremendous love for you, that you would reach out and embrace that love, that you would reach out and just invite Jesus to be ever near and dear into your life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.